this question is in fact a question which applies different situations, and the relative answers would differ from situation to situation. The Holy Quran speaks in principle about love. وَهُمْ أَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُورِهُونَ. The believers, or Abadur Rahman who has been mentioned, أَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُورِهُونَ, they keep away from useless, valueless, nonsense things. Now it all depends, it varies with from person to person. What is nonsense to one may not be nonsense to other. Also, the acquired tastes differ, and the spiritual levels differ. So I am not in favor of declaring something totally wrong for everybody, because there are stages of prohibition in Islam, and in some places Islam also leaves a layer of deceit with the believer. And there a sort of freedom of thought and action is given, for which no hard and fast rule should be made or declared, because then the life would become very difficult for the whole society. But somehow people tend to ask questions on such aspects and want such answers as would be very difficult to follow if given according to their own desire. And again, the Holy Quran also tells us in principle that don't ask about things which, if answered, would make things difficult to you. وَلَا تَسَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءٍ إِنْ تُبْدَ لَكُمْ تَسُوكُمْ. Don't ask about things which, if answered, may be heavy on you, may not be liked by you. So there are so many regions unattended, not so many but some of course, and which are kept unattended by Islam consciously. The philosophy I have already explained, because various people are found at various levels of development and attitudes and tastes. So love could be interpreted differently according to different persons. For instance, one who is, has accepted Islam from the Western society, for instance, if you immediately declare a taqwa against his interest in art, not only that he will not understand, he will in fact be more inclined to lose faith in Islam, because it would appear so unnatural. So where Islam has not categorically prohibited, he diverts attention from more serious pursuits in life. And as I understand this word, this is the best definition. And if the pursuits of life are of a higher order, and a person who is pursuing the way of life is more serious-minded, his love would be different from just a child's love. A child can play tapu, for instance. What do you call it in English, tapu? The stairs, they make stairs and jump on one leg, hop and so on. Hotspot? No, hotspot I didn't see. Hopscotch. This side. Hotspot is something different. Hopscotch is, a jumble of something stupid, magic things. Hopscotch. So, hopscotch would be love for Maulana Sansar, for instance, Maulana Sansar, for his age and for his respectability and everything. And it won't be love for this child who has given us the name of this game. It would be, in fact, a very good thing for him to do. So, people are at different levels of acquired taste in spirituality too. Those who have acquired taste for the recitations of the Holy Quran or the reading of serious books on religion, if you give them a novel, they won't be interested. It would be just love for them. And there are certain people who apply their minds with difficulty to such serious pursuits. So if their attention is diverted too much to novel readings, for instance, at the cost of serious pursuit, and they don't try to divert their attention from vain to serious, from useless to useful, then this love would become prohibitive for them. It would interfere in their progress of life, and that to that extent it should be forbidden to them. So, according to this definition, if the love begins to interfere with the serious pursuits of life and creates damage for one in some degree, in certain spheres of its activity, to that much extent it becomes love and it should be avoided. And love has a very wide field of application. In fact, love can become a very big sin, one of the serious offenses in Islam. For instance, you are watching television, some light show or some fiction, something, and the time for prayer has come. Now that is love, of course. It is not forbidden directly so much that it becomes a crime in the eyes of Allah. But a call for prayer is made and you can reach the mosque, but you are so deeply involved in that play which is being televised that you forget about the prayer and continue pursuing the game or play, whatever it is. That love becomes a sin then. It adopts a quality of idolatry, falling partners by Allah, because a vain pursuit or interest has stood in the way of a very serious and important pursuit in life for which man is created. So love is a very difficult word to define, because although in essence I have defined it, but it acquires different importances in various different situations. Love can become a great sin, and love can become just ordinary thing. Even some people who are grown up and who have very strong acquired taste for spirituality and who are very pious indulge in some sorts of love, and those loves in which them they indulge, apparently superficially they are love, but because they are serving some purpose, they can't be called that type of love which is to be avoided. So love for ordinary situations can lose its being love, the quality of being love at in another situation. For instance, when you are on a picnic, your mood is completely different. You are playing with your children and you are doing things which in ordinary life you would not think of doing. That is no longer love as described by the Holy Quran. That is not the love of which is described as Wahum Anil Love Memorism, because that is has become something which serves a purpose and it relaxes you for a while, not at the cost of others. An innocent hobby of play, even you can play cards there without gambling. You can play Ludo or any sort of anything, or while you while away your time in some way that relaxes you. The purpose is relaxation, and for that some means are adopted. Those means in ordinary life may be declared as love, meaningless, or diverting your attention from serious pursuits. But in those situations, they serve a purpose and they don't become love anymore. So it's a very wide subject. Now I come to, from this background, come to your question of music. Music as such is not forbidden in the Holy Quran. In some instances we read about Ahadu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam permitting the use of da, which was a sort of musical instrument played in Arabia in those days, yet is also known to have turned away from certain other musical instruments. When he heard the voice, he didn't like it. So, the correct attitude lies somewhere in between. You understand the philosophy is this and that, and then you can truly understand why he did this and why he did not do that. The fact is that such music as diverts your attention from other important things in life, love of Allah, love of the prayer and things of which man is made, that type of music should be avoided very strongly. And if it becomes an obsession with you, then it may become a sin. But to carefully listen to music as it is nowadays played in every corner of the world, and in fact even if you try hard, you can't avoid listening to music. For that I shouldn't declare any fatwa against it, because that will be coming too strong. And the Holy Quran has not said it so many words. So, the style of music also has changed a lot from that time. The inference that thus, exactly as it is permitted, and other music as it is forbidden, that inference I can't agree with. Because it was a style of music found in Arabia, and while thus was played, it was played to a purpose. And that at that time it was serving a purpose. So, that definition which I have offered you, that fits in very well. For instance, we hear of das being played when Hazur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was entering Medina. And some ladies and girls, young girls, they were singing the song of Hazur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's praise and also striking at the dhaf. Now that is a special type of musical instrument. On one side it is covered, on the other side it is not covered. Now because that is called dhaf, so there are many ulama who have inferred that only that type of music is permitted and nothing else. That is stupid, because Hazur Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to give us guidelines and principles and set examples for all times to come, not for one particular time. So if you particularize everything which he did, instead of drawing general principles which would be applicable to all times to come, then you would be remain restricted to a certain age in history and will not be able to proceed a step beyond that. He never rode cars, ride cars. He never used those modern amenities which are provided to you. So, why shouldn't you infer in every respect that only bread, the type of bread which Hazur Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam ate, and made of that particular grain which he used, for instance, jaw, that is permitted and the rest is not permitted. That type of dress is permitted and rest is not permitted. If you go on making your inferences in this fashion, then the whole life you are leading would become haram. Because very little of it is exactly on the pattern of how Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in those days. He didn't use these lights, and he in fact camera was not invented at that time, so he never had a picture taken of him. all this picture taking and all this posing for pictures, all this becomes haram by those standards. So open up your mind, try to understand the philosophy of Islam. According to the Holy Quran, that which is forbidden is clearly laid down. That which is promoted is clearly laid down. In between there are no man's lands on which some principle life is thrown. And the borders go on shifting from here to there like quicksand. Those no man's lands which I am referring to in do's and do not, from situation to situation, they squeeze in one direction and swell in the other at other times. And this music and painting lies in this region, my friend, under love. If this becomes a pursuit of life which interferes with your higher values for which you are created, then to that extent it will become forbidden. If it does not interfere with the seriousness of your life, and it only helps a little bit to energize your nerves or relax your nerves for a while, I don't think this would be forbidden so categorically at least. By pursuits I mean there are certain pursuits which become obsession. For instance, I have known people in Pakistan as well who become fond of, we call Filmi Gana, the same songs. And this becomes their obsession. With the result that they neither pay attention to their studies, nor to their religious obligations. They don't read such boys and girls. Hazrat Masih Maud books. They have no time for Hadith, Ahadith, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tradition, or even for the Holy Quran. And that becomes a headache for them. And a nonsensical song, which in fact, as far as the value of the song goes, is just a third-rate thing. That, because it is sung with music, that interests them so much and so deeply that the whole life is thrilled when they begin to hear listen to this. And they can't listen to anything else. That is a sort of addiction. In this regard, when this happens, then this becomes haram because it is interfering with the obligatory spheres of Islam. And it stands in the way of your spiritual progress. But if somebody is paying attention to all these things and for instance he opens up radio and a song is being played and he likes it and he listens for a while he has time and he is not wasting any time at all, he declares suddenly that why didn't he stop it immediately, he becomes a kafir or that something. That is very stupid. That is not Islam's concept of halal or haram. Similarly, some people say that painting is totally forbidden because Ahlul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not permit pictures, according to them, either to be kept in house or to be drawn. But they don't understand the fact that those pictures which Ahlul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade were invariably the pictures of idols. That was a time when picture taking by camera was out of question, camera was not invented. When drawing pictures or painting was entirely devoted to religious purposes, for drawing pictures of imaginary God. In the days of Ahadu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we don't find any art in Arabia. Not even remotely, in which people were being drawn or realities were being drawn. You will not find the mention of any scenery being drawn by any artist of that time. or the portrait being drawn of somebody, or any particular situation in reality. All that was being drawn was not only a fiction, but a fiction which was against the fundamental principles laid down by Islam. They were pictures of imaginary idols, partners of Allah. They were either drawn or chiseled out in form of statues. So what Hazrat sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade was this thing, because we have no evidence that a real situation in life has ever been drawn in his presence which he forbade. So my inference is that what he forbade was that, and with a purpose. You understand that purpose. So to extend it further to a field which was never in his mind, nor he could have spoken on that, because that did not interfere with any religious purpose. Here we can understand the philosophy all right, easily. Idol making stands in hostility to Islamic concept of oneness of Allah. So whatever promotes idolatry should be forbidden. That's quite understandable. But where the nature as such, the realities are being produced in some way, how could it be forbidden? Neither it is forbidden nor it could be forbidden to my mind. So I don't think this should also be declared haram. But if it becomes an obsession with your girl or boy and begins to interfere with the serious pursuits of life, then I think they should be stopped to that extent. Then they become love, and that love is forbidden in the Holy Quran. وَهُمْ أَنِ اللَّهُ مُعْرِضُونَ